That's new.
So that's that's different. Okay, well, now that we know that we're being recorded, I will call the meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Parliament Ingersoll Public Library to order. It is June 16, 2021. It is 4:02 p.m. And the first order of business is to take a look at the minutes for the May 19, 2021, both meetings, and to see if we need any additions or corrections to those.
I would move approval.
We have a motion to approve the first set of minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
I think we got Kathy first on that one. any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Jana?
Aye.
Kim?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Kathy?
Aye.
Trig?
Aye.
Keely?
Aye.
Okay, let's take a look at the, so that'll pass unanimously, the second set of minutes, which would have comprised, the meeting to appoint our officers for this fiscal year. Does anybody have any additions or corrections to those? Hearing none, I will move that we approve these. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Got Jana. Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none. Let's take a roll call vote.
Okay. Ely?
Aye.
Trig?
Aye.
Kathy?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Kim?
Aye.
Jana?
Aye.
Okay. Those will pass unanimously as well. The next order of business is to determine if there is any public comments. Looking around the room and the program of the library, I don't see any members of the public present. And we have anybody on the Zoom call or any emails, comments, or anything like that?
Nothing that I've received, nope.
Okay, well, another month. We will deem that period closed in that case. So the next order of business will be communication.
Okay. I had one thing that isn't on the agenda. I had a discussion with Harold Rose about a history group, and Keely, you're involved with that, but they were doing kind of like almost a little bit of an oral history survey on students about the pandemic, and he's doing it in association with a student that is a doctoral or master's student in museum studies, as well as the Canton Area Heritage Center. The group is going to be meeting here informally in the main library. We have a couple of tables where they can talk quietly. And eventually we might partner in at least having some of their information in our display case. Our policy is library only, so we would be partnering with the organization to do that. They're just questioning the students on their experiences and feelings during the pandemic, thinking it might be useful for the future coming on how things were handled and what worked and what didn't and how the students felt. Do you want to add anything else to the summary or?
That they're also working on getting a survey out to faculty members and staff members.
Okay.
So that they'll have some adult input to what okay. their experiences were like in the pandemic.
Very good.
Cool.
The next thing I had were the tax computation reports, and I handed those to some of you, those that are virtually didn't get the figures, but I had requested, as I always have, for the City of Canton tax computation report that we have used in the past for non-resident fees. But I also then did get one for the library that was not official, but it was a software adjustment that Patrick O'Brien made so that we could see our individual tax rates. Now, I had talked with Trig about it because there were two different EABs that were used on these reports, and I wasn't sure if that was okay or not, and he had a form that he sent that needed a signature, and I don't know, Trig, did you hear any more on that?
From Patrick about the signature or about the two different EAVs?
The two different EAVs. You were going to talk to...
Yeah, I reached out to... oh my goodness.
You mentioned Steve, someone.
The assessor. I want to say Steve Jorenzi, but that's just because I just looked at Tad's name. So this is going to drive me crazy. The Canton Township assessor. And he wasn't totally sure what was going on with it either.
Okay.
It's what the computer, I mean, he seemed pretty sure that it's just what the computer gives us.
So should I sign off on the form and send it in?
I think so.
Okay, the question in the figures were just that the one for the library did not have the same figure for State Railroad. And we weren't really sure why on that. But I will go ahead then and just sign off on this form and send that back to, it goes to Patrick O'Brien.
Yeah. Well, and I would know too, just for whatever it's worth. I mean, looking at like Canton, the rates on the EAV is the same. Or, well, it's
a little different. It's not.
It's about $500,000 less.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Question, when we look at the form, they have a total extension, then they have a total extension after TIF and EZ, or a total extension with overlaps. Which one of those is,
it's the furthest right, is what we're expecting to get. Like, if everybody paid their bill.
Right, and would we look at the one with the TIF, after TIF, or the one with?
It would be, so with the, it's the furthest, which they're the same.
Okay.
In this, but the after TIF and EZ and the overlaps.
Okay, would be the same.
Are the same in this case, but yeah, it would be.
It would be that one.
It's usually the rightmost column. Is
okay.
What you're expecting to get.
Okay. And just for those that didn't have the form right in front of you, that amount is $279,353.79, and we thought it would be, we guesstimated at $288 something. So we are assured to at least get what we had asked for, which was a concern with the levy. So we're in good shape. I'll go ahead, sign that then and send that on.
We're actually going to get a little bit more than we asked for. Because like some of those tax income, like the TIF districts are returning a little bit more for us. Like if you look at
do we get the TIF? Okay. I didn't know if they were including us.
Top of the city. So like just looking at, for example, sorry, people that are on the computer screen, but if you look at line 016, which is the second from the top, our levy request was $185,409. And what we're gonna get that's kind of weird.
176.
Yeah, that must be where that railroad money came out of.
Okay.
That must be where that happens. Interesting.
Yeah, that I just wasn't sure, so.
Well, you kind of never know until you sort of see this report and just see what you're going to get.
We did get the 0.15 tax rate, though, which is what we were sealed
right.
at, so.
We just would have very little ability to tell them to change something if we, so.
Okay, good enough. I will sign off on that and send that in.
I've got a question regarding the special minutes. We had a special meeting of the regarding the Charles Ingersoll Trust. Do we need to approve those?
That was actually approved at the last meeting, but approved as corrected.
Okay.
It was in your packet. It had December's amount instead of March 31st.
Okay.
So I just sent everybody the actual corrected one.
I now recall that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. I just wanted to update. The next item was on the circulation manager job search. Thus far, I have had 5 applications and one that was unsolicited that I received prior, but someone that had library experience that I might contact. But this week I'm planning to set up some interviews on those. One person actually had a master's degree in library science and they're from the Chicago suburbs. I have a feeling before I talk to them that I might mention what the salary is because I have a feeling it will be way too low. for them, but I plan to call in, you know, at least five or six, and we will see what we get. Only about two of them had any library experience at all, but quite a few did have different types of office experience. So I think we can, you know, work with that and see what we get. And just as a heads up, another part-timer told me that she will probably be resigning. She does outreach, so before the weather gets bad and cold, she will probably be resigning. So we might have a couple of positions coming up in the near future. I do have quite a few people that have been here quite a while that, you know, it might be on their radar. So just as a heads up, but I'll keep everybody posted. I hope to interview people in the next couple of weeks. Then we probably have to wait at least a week or two for background checks to come back through. And Brenda's last day now looks like it might be August 20th. She's working on relocating and needing the time. So we'll see if it all falls into place. The ideal would be if she can work with the new person a little bit, but if things don't work out that way, we'll manage just fine.
On that topic, I sometimes, and I certainly didn't ask you about this ahead of time, so now, you know, I don't mean to ask to put you on the spot. Do you feel like the salary is pretty competitive? I mean, like, are we going, I mean, I guess we got five or six applications, but maybe they don't know what the salary is.
Yeah, I didn't put it on just because I wanted to see. I think it's comparable to what other CERC managers have. I did have one in-house candidate who is a teacher, and she would have needed at least $4 more an hour than what Brenda makes. But in a lot of libraries, circulation managers are people that work through the ranks after being clerical. And we just really didn't have anybody in that position that could step up. But when we've done these salary comparisons, Brenda's salary has been on a par with that or a little higher, but when we're doing those figures, you don't always see how many years experience somebody has. And she has 36 years experience.
Because that's, I thought it might be maybe even higher than comparable just because she had been here for so long. Like that might have.
Right. But see, the charts to compare for the Illinois State Library don't list years experience and seniority.
Right.
But I will look at that and I will see what, you know, what I hear from people.
Because yeah, I wondered if it might, we might want to give you some authority to adjust if it feels like we need to, you know, attract a good candidate. But
yeah,
I guess we'll probably have to talk about that.
I've got a range in there that I'm planning to offer and see what people's expectations are.
Great.
And then I just wanted to mention the auditor will be on site on Friday. We've been in contact with him. That's Andy Saltzman at Ginoli and Company. So he and a colleague will be here on Friday.
Great.
That was all I had on communications.
Okay. Well, in that case, thank you. We will move on to the agenda for this month. And the first item is to approve the consent agenda for May 2021, which was included in the packets. Anybody have any questions or concerns?
I might just point out when you compare May of 2021 to May of 2020, it shows our circulation up over 615%. That is because while we were closed in May of 2020, we did have some ebook and e-audio checkouts. That's why it ended up having an amount in there. But it does feel like things are picking up a little bit this summer, so we'll see.
Anybody have a motion to approve it?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Okay, I'll try and go. Jana?
Hi.
Kim?
Hi.
Chris?
Hi.
Kathy?
Hi.
Trig?
Hi.
And Keely?
Hi. Great. Okay, so the next item is to take a look at the code of conduct policy, which is also included in the packets. So not to steal your thunder, but we do look at these every 3 years. I don't think there were any suggestions.
There were no changes in this. I looked through it and I also compared some others that I've seen other libraries post, and there really wasn't anything different here. We always post the one-page shortened version for staff and public to see. And basically, I think the part to pay attention is, you know, we can ask somebody to leave if there's an incident. Staff should write it up as an incident report. If there's a second instance of this, I can suspend someone for 30 days. If it would go beyond that, then that issue would come to the board if you wanted to extend an extension on the suspension. But basically, no, there were no changes. It pretty much covers everything we've experienced or could think of at this point in time. So
the only thing that I kind of like in reading over it sort of like courts an eyebrow, I suppose, is Section 8, which refers to it as an ordinance.
Yes.
And that's not necessarily wrong, per se. I mean,
resolution?
That's what I was going to think. I mean, just because we don't really pass ordinances, I mean, we don't call anything else that we do an ordinance. So it's just, it would be a little out of character for us to do that. But I don't think it's wrong so much as just maybe like a little bit confusing.
Okay. Was that the only place that used that word?
I think so. I mean, it's sort of like, okay. The enacting language that it has in there is the same language that you would use, yeah, if you were going to like enact this and then publish it and codify it, and like that would be what a local government would do to make a law. So I might honestly just take it out.
Would you want it to say resolution?
Well, if we do that, then like the rest of the language still sort of sounds like we're passing an ordinance.
Okay, so just leave out Section 8.
I might just take it out.
Section
8. That
okay.
It just makes it a little less confusing. Chances that would ever matter are very low,
that's good.
But that's why we look at the years. Anybody else have any comments or questions about that? Well, since it was my change, I will make a motion to approve it as written minus Section 8.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's take a roll.
Okay. Keely. Trey.
Aye.
Kathy.
Aye.
Chris.
Aye.
Kim.
Aye.
And Jana.
Aye.
Moving on to our discussion of protocols.
Yeah, I kind of tried to spell this out in the action item memo the best I could on some of the issues that libraries have been experiencing. One of the first things I wanted to bring up was with the Open Meetings Act. Right now we are still under a proclamation from the governor as a disaster. So we are able to meet virtually and have Zoom attendance. That expires on, I think it was June 26th. So if that is not extended, then we would be required to meet in person and no longer meet via Zoom, unless we follow previous Open Meetings Act protocol. So I think that very well could be likely that we will just be meeting in person. So I wanted to bring that to everyone's attention. The second thing that came up was related to the requirement of wearing masks. We have had several people come in saying they didn't have to wear a mask because they were vaccinated, and we have handed them masks. But a majority of the libraries have just been posting signs saying if you're vaccinated, then you do not have to wear one. If you're not vaccinated, you should wear one. Some are requiring them in the children's department. A few are requiring them everywhere. I found a kind of a nice, neat, short one. Ben made a... This is an example. He made a flyer for me with a little less rhetoric, and I'll kind of show it to them and then I'll show it to you all. But it just says vaccinated, masks not required, unvaccinated, masks strongly recommended, And then masking for children and immune compromised, greatly appreciated. And that's all that it says. Does this work? Can you guys see this okay? It's probably reverse image, or is it okay? Can you guys see the image? No?
I think I can see it in the camera. I just don't know if.
Yep. Yes. I can see it.
You can see it? Is it real or is it backwards?
No, it's right ways.
Okay. Good enough. But that's an issue that I've run across with masking. A lot of libraries have found that some of their staff are more comfortable wearing a mask. We currently, all our staff are vaccinated except one, and that person intends to get one. It's one of our younger staff members. So we do have one that is not, but some libraries are also running into people that for some reason aren't taking a vaccine. So some are requiring all staff, some are just leaving it basically with a line, if you are not vaccinated, then you should wear a mask. Some require it in the children's department. But that's where that issue is. I don't know how people feel about that. If you would choose to not require them, you know, anybody can wear one if they want to. So
my question about that would be, as we left it last month, I think that there was like a general sense among the staff that they felt strongly that we should continue to do it. Mm-hmm. Has that sentiment persisted?
I think some have been exposed to other businesses in town and places where they are not. And I think they feel comfortable that if they choose not to, that'd be fine. If they felt uncomfortable around one of the public and they wanted to put their mask on, maybe helping somebody with a computer, you know, then they're free to do so. And that's kind of the gist that I had. Some people said, I'm not, I just as soon wear mine all the time. I was like, that can be fine. The children's department feels that because the kids aren't vaccinated, they'd like to. But I know some in the office would prefer not wearing it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time I've worn one of these in about 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I see less and less when I've been out and about in town, and I think people are used to that.
I told some of my, they came up, some of my lady friends, that we're going to do it until children's reading session is over, because mm-hmm. kids aren't vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we loosen up again.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have to question the utility. I mean, if the kids are obviously going other places than just here, and if no one else is making them wear them, I'm not sure it's going to make a big difference if we do.
Uh-huh.
But maybe it's a good example. I mean, what's the situation? Well, I guess you're not at school anymore.
If we were in school, we'd be wearing them.
Which
and
means?
I've been to a couple of meetings at Ingersoll, and we're still wearing them.
Okay.
Even though there are no students in the school, we're still wearing them.
Okay.
And I think that's because of our being around kids if they're in school right now. That's
okay.
Yeah. The school district, they're just comfortable.
Yeah. It's just kind of a, given that we have to wear them so nobody talks about it or
whatever. I know. Don't they still require you to wear them?
Do they?
I think. They, the last time I was there, even vaccinated people had to wear masks.
Where was this?
Kroger. I think.
Oh. I don't know. I
think there is still a sign on the door, isn't there? And everybody's wearing them.
Yeah.
They're not.
They're not at Hy-Vee. They're not at Walmart.
The courthouse couldn't wear them anymore, as long as you're vaccinated.
Yeah. None of the libraries are questioning that, although I included the handout on, you can ask a staff member, are you or aren't you? And if they say they're not vaccinated, then you can say, well, then you must wear a mask. You cannot ask them why they are not vaccinated.
Yeah.
You can ask a person you're hiring if they're vaccinated or not, but again, not inquire why. If they're not vaccinated, then you can say they must wear a mask. I've had other people say, you know, the kids are used to wearing a mask. They just come in and wear them and they don't think anything of it. So I don't know. But I know I went to, don't like to name names, but I went to SEFCU and they had like two big signs with you know, about wearing a mask and what the CDC says and per this and per IDPH. And then there was another one, you know, stop if you want to prevent the spread. And it's another whole sheet of things. And I think people aren't stopping long enough to read big, long signs. And that's why I thought, well, if we just have a little short something, you know, that would be the way to go.
Well, I guess my question would be this. I think I feel fairly strongly that there isn't a lot of points requiring adults to wear them. I'm not sure how I feel about the kids. How does everybody feel about, well, and if everybody does feel strongly that we need to have the adults wear them still, feel free to say that. I mean, I don't want to like poison the well on that discussion, but I would be interested in hearing what everybody thought about the kids, like whether it's still a good idea, whether we should still do that. Yeah.
It's difficult because I'm vaccinated. My kids aren't. They always wear masks though when we go out in public. But I've been out to Walmart many, many times and just seen whole families with little kids, you know, elementary mm-hmm. kids, not masked at all. And we know they're not vaccinated. I don't know what is the best call there.
One thing that bothers me or might bother me would be the idea that it would be alienating to people that we would want to come in. You know, that they might feel as though, like I had to go back to my car and get one, you know, which is no big deal. I mean, I have several, I mean, but.
We've been handing them out if they come in and they don't have them.
And maybe.
We have a supply and they just say, oh, and we tell them right now, you know, we told them that the board is meeting on Wednesday, but we've told them, you know, we're wearing them because of summer reading and that the kids don't have a vaccine yet. And then if we haven't had anybody complain for that reason. I don't think we have had any children come in without masks though. And really they're not vaccinated, so they should be wearing a mask. I think it seems like a lot of businesses are tired of enforcing anything.
Maybe our patrons are a little step up from Walmart.
Well, and that's, you know. And I was thinking about that too, because I was like, well, there probably isn't like a lot of overlap, but you know, you sort of want to have your arms open to anybody who wants to come.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like we would love to have the people that go to Walmart come to the library. Mm-hmm. I mean, so.
Yeah, Brenda has said we've handed out more than we have in the past, but they're readily available and it's not been an issue. So if somebody thinks they don't need them anymore and comes without one, we don't make them run out to the car. We will offer them a mask.
I kind of feel like we should take our cues from the school district about what the kids are doing.
Yeah, I wish I knew what they were doing at summer school. Are they still wearing masks?
They are. They're wearing masks at summer
school. Because I just think that like what we're doing with summer reading most closely kind of tracks that, you know, where you would have like a group of people inside all at the same time for, I'm not sure how extensive it is, but I mean, like how long they're here all at the same time.
Well, there are no capacity limits right now, but we haven't had problems. Tiffany scheduled a lot of events in smaller groups, or we've had group story times outside in anticipation of this. I don't think I've seen probably more than 15 or 20 in the building at the same time. They're doing a scavenger hunt, so they're kind of moving all over, but you know, I think the children would be wearing masks either way because they aren't vaccinated. I think it's more the question of, you know, the adults around the children in the children's room, or all staff requiring it because of the children's room, or
the teachers at Ingersoll and students are still wearing masks. Summer school ends tomorrow, but they are still at Ingersoll.
I sort of feel like another month might be give us more definitive answer, because supposedly that big 4th of July celebration that we did it and we're back to normal, and maybe June is questionable. July might be okay. It's over.
Yeah, our next, I looked, our next July meeting falls on the 21st.
Okay, then it'll be past the celebrations.
Well,
how are, I'm hearing that you feel the children and those working around children should wear them. How do you feel about the adults that come in that aren't with children and aren't going in the children's room?
My preference would be what the sign says.
Okay.
Which is that, you know, if you're vaccinated.
Vaccinated, mask not required. Unvaccinated, mask strongly recommended. And masking for children and immune compromised, greatly appreciated.
Well, except now we have to change the.
Then you'd have
children.
To change the. But
I guess I would prefer the first two lines. I mean, my philosophy about this, and I realize that everyone is going to differ about this. I mean, so I don't want to poison the well. Like I keep saying, I don't want to like squelch opinion about this just by saying what mine is. But my philosophy, though, for the whole time basically has been when there wasn't a vaccine, and if you were going to be out and about, you were going to be coming into contact with people that had to be, you know, and might not be able to get a vaccine, you know, might not be able to protect themselves. And so it makes a ton of sense to me to require people to protect themselves and others in a situation where people are not able to get a vaccine and are not able to protect themselves from that. At this point, the vaccine is so widely available that I think if you want it, you pretty much have already got it or pretty close, you know, and so there probably aren't that many people walking around now who don't have vaccines that would like to have one. And so if they've made the choice not to do it, it's not a choice that I would have made. I don't understand why somebody, unless they had some reason to not be able to get it, would not do it. But they've made that call, and I, you know, can't make that decision for them. And so I just don't know if they're opting out of protection. I don't know why we would wear a mask to sort of like protect them if they've chosen not to, you know, sort of engage in that themselves. So I sort of feel like at this point, it's probably okay to relax it for the adults. With the kids, because they can't get a vaccine, like I would still feel strongly that we should protect them by requiring people to wear masks. I mean, that's how I feel about it. And like I said, I don't want to shoot down anybody else who has a different opinion about that, because we all sort of, you know, want to bring that to the table. Jana, Chris?
I'm just over the whole thing in general, so.
I think
we just follow, you know, you're vaccinated, you don't have to. I just don't think we can play police with that. Everybody has a right to their own opinion, and so I think we just have to let it go.
Chris? Uh-oh. Are you muted?
I don't show you muted, Chris, but we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I have a microphone that likes to act up on me, so I plugged in my external mic. So my question is, what constitutes as a kid? Because to my knowledge, individuals, what is it, 12 or older at this point can get vaccinated? So would that be the cutoff?
I mean, for me, it would be. But I mean, I guess that's up for discussion.
Well, I do recall reading an article recently that one of the things I thought I recalled was that masks are going to be continued, at least at this point, to be required in a public school setting. So from that perspective, I think requiring children 12 years or younger, that would be consistent with, I'm not saying that I agree with all the science and everything else behind it, because it's really unknown, but that would be very consistent with the guidance and very probably wise of us to go along with the guidance in that regard. And I agree that we should relax the masks for adults. And I really liked what Trigg said and how he talked about, you know, those that have already had the vaccine and those, you know, that probably haven't had it probably at this point won't get it. I like that logic. So I think the sign saying vaccinated people, masks not required, unvaccinated, strongly encouraged, children required, but you'd have to change that children 12 years or under 12 years.
Do we have to make the, so if a parent comes in with their kid, if they're in the children's section around other kids, does that grown up, does that adult have to wear masks too? Like if they're around the kids?
Here's the sticky situation you get yourself into is you don't know whether that person is vaccinated individual or somebody who's disregarded the strong encouragement, right?
Right. Okay.
So I mean, how are you going to police this? That will be unfeasible to do.
Yeah. See, I just kind of think, well, if you say unvaccinated, then the required, that would include children. Maybe we just need the two lines. But if you want to require those going in the children's area, whether they're, you know, vaccinated or not, to wear a mask, that's a different thing.
Does it make it a little sticky when you start putting
these? Mine. You tried to give me that last time.
Yeah, I mean, they're either vaccinated or they're unvaccinated. Then
that one,
and maybe instead of strongly recommended, say required. Vaccinated, mask not required. Unvaccinated, masks required. Yeah, see, and I don't think staff want to police or ask to see a card.
No. I don't think that's fair to our staff.
No.
Okay, then leave it as strongly recommended.
In that position.
And drop the bottom line completely.
And then if someone asks, you just say for the children, uh-huh. We're asking if you're unvaccinated. For the safety of the children in our facility, in our library, we're asking that you mask up.
Uh-huh.
You just keep it at that.
And that's, this one just says masking for children, greatly appreciated.
Uh-huh.
But that's, everybody's hesitating on that list. So is there a better wording that?
Maybe keep the strongly recommended.
Yeah, I mean,
for
I
those
think,
last two,
like,
those last two lines.
The tension is like, I would like to require them, you know, I mean, but that does put us in the position of just asking, you know, can I see your card? And yeah, we're allowed to do that. But I do not think that's a good idea. I don't think it's fair to the staff. I just don't think it's a good idea on a number of fronts. Can we do a different, I mean, does it make sense to do a different sign at the children's section? And just say like, okay, this is your sign coming in. And then if you get to the children's section,
well, they're kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Doing the scavenger hunt and everything.
It, right. So.
Masking for children, masking to protect the children.
Yeah.
Maybe,
I think that's.
Maybe.
I like that. I mean, who can argue with that?
Yeah.
I
oh,
think a sensible
yeah.
person is going to pose an argument
Well, I would agree that no sensible person would do that.
How about masking to protect the children and immune compromised? Greatly appreciated. Instead of for the children? Because that means do they have to wear it or?
I like saying to protect. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it captures what we're looking for. You know, because I think it would be clear, you know, who that applies to. It'd be like if you're a child or if you're around, like that would make sense. And I think it has to be greatly appreciated. I mean, if we're not willing to put ourselves in the position of policing it, which I'm not, you know, I mean, I just don't think that that's something that we can fairly ask the people that we're here to do.
And if it's staff, if they're not vaccinated, they have to wear it. If they are, they can choose to or not to, depending on their own individual comfort level.
Absolutely.
We had this very debate internally and it took a lot of time, a lot of opinions, and conclusion was that we made masks optional for everybody just because of the inability or really the inefficiency of trying to police that. That's the best conclusion we came to. Not saying that we need to make this in this meeting, just giving you a reference from what we've decided.
I think that's right. I think we're sort of in the same place. I don't think it hurts to say greatly appreciate it. I don't think it hurts to encourage people to do that.
Are we good with this? Make this our sign, and this is what we'll do.
Yeah, I think so.
Jana had to leave, by the way. She told me ahead of time. I wrote to protect instead of for. You can read my scribble.
Does it look okay, Chris?
I think so. What do the others in the room think?
Yeah, I think we're about to. I think we're ready to vote on it.
Yeah.
We're good on the mask thing then.
Yeah, we should probably
do that, and we'll go on to the others.
Is there a motion to approve the sign and a mask policy consistent with the sign? Second.
Okay, and Jana has left. So, Kim.
Aye.
Chris.
Aye.
Kathy.
Aye.
Trig.
Aye.
And Keely.
Aye.
Thank you.
Quarantine of materials.
Yes. The next thing I put down was about quarantine of materials. The Rails library system has no longer been quarantining materials for several weeks. And the studies have shown that you do not pick up the virus off the surface of any hard items. It is transmitted in the air. So a lot of libraries have stopped quarantining materials completely. And I think we're probably at the point, we're only down to one day, but I really think we're at the point where we can start checking things in when they're returned, and that the patrons can see if everything is off their account. A lot of times they sit a little longer than that by the time we have a shelver for them. But I'm thinking we're at the point that we could probably safely feel that it is not an issue of people getting the virus off of the book materials. And I guess we could kind of talk about some of the other things too. With the circulation desk, we're also feeling that we no longer need to segregate check-ins only and check-outs only. People are distancing and things seem to be working. Every library I've known of wants to keep their sneeze guards or their plastic coverings in front of checkouts. But other than that, I think a lot of people are lifting that quarantine. Many libraries have been putting out their newspapers. They put hand sanitizer out there, but they're kind of, you know, use at your own risk, and the local paper is out there for people to look at. I'm comfortable with that in that those are usually looked at individually. I'm not real comfortable having our puzzle table out yet where people are sitting together working on it. But I thought those things would be things we could consider. Public computers, we currently have four available on the adult side. I think we could add a fifth one and still keep them spaced, going every other machine so that they would still be spaced 6 feet apart. Our seating is pretty good. I think we can remove the caution tape. There are only about three places where they would be closer than 6 feet, and I think we can just leave those three covered. And the public drinking fountains, we actually had an attorney ruling on those can be out for the public as well. So I think a lot of those other things we could still maybe loosen up. I think we would still be sanitizing, have Dan sanitize as he has been, and have the staff sanitize door handles twice a day when Dan hasn't been here. But as far as some of these others, I think we can lift the quarantine on materials and put the checkout desk back to normal. It would be helpful during summer reading a little bit. We're getting a little more traffic And then things could be checked in a normal manner. So those were some of the things I thought about. The other thing is we did have staff come in early so that we would open from 8 to 9 for vulnerable populations. I can tell you we've really regularly only had one person use it. I don't really think that's necessary anymore either. It just wasn't used by our people. So I guess those would be the other questions on eliminating the quarantine at this time, opening up the circulation desk, putting papers out, and eliminating the early morning hours. I don't know that the stores that have shoppers have kept those or not, but
anybody can come in now at any time, isn't that?
I think those signs have been removed.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
So
they found them burdensome.
Yeah. Those were the other COVID things that I think most staff would be comfortable with that. I think we've all learned that everybody's comfort levels are different and everybody gets used to something. When they first went with no quarantine, our staff just didn't want to do it. Now you're kind of like a month later and everybody's kind of like, yeah, you know. I don't really think there's the threat there. And, you know, we're just learning. We're all learning as we go. But those are things that I think are worth considering.
Do you need a motion to accept your recommendations?
I think so. I think we've kind of done it that way.
Okay. I don't know how you want to break them up.
I think we should just, I mean, unless anybody disagrees with any of them, I think we can just do them all as a group. That's okay. Okay, is that your motion?
Yes, please.
I will second it. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll call that.
Okay. We're back. I'm trying to go different directions, but Kim Fraley?
Aye.
Chris Layton?
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam?
Aye.
Trig Mead?
Aye.
And Keely Vollmer?
Aye. Okay. We have a few minutes left to discuss possible trustee candidates. As last we left it, we were not able to get Scott, so we were looking at potential other replacements for Michelle Quinones. Sometimes we have a list.
I don't think there's really anyone. Whoops. Yeah, any new ones on here. So if anybody has a copy of the previous ones, it really has not changed. I don't know if we want to mention names online, but
that's what I was kind of thinking. And
I can just show just a few of you. Or Chris, if you have any, you know, that you've thought of, you could shoot them over to Tree.
Please, absolutely.
But a lot of the people here are ones that for one reason or another, I think we've already ruled out or approached, or maybe some. I think some might not even live in town anymore, to be honest. Mm-hmm. This was kind of a running list that I just updated over the years.
Well, if everybody's looking at it, to avoid saying the person's name online, the next person that I would like to approach is the fifth from the bottom. I think that the job that she has, sorry, Chris. the job that she has is as an outreach person at Spoon River College. She does a lot of she does a lot of like community development. I've worked with that. I think that there would be a lot of like interesting ways for the library and the college to work together. Because that's kind of her job, you know, and I know that more adult outreach, more adult programming is always something that we're sort of like looking to see if we can find a way to do. Obviously, with the last year, opportunities have been quite limited, but I think it would be an interesting direction. I think she's wonderful. I think that
she's a reader.
She is a reader. And that would be sort of my choice for the next person to ask, but we're really looking for two because we've got, I think, one board member who would like to resign if we can find a replacement. So Sorry. So what I was saying is that the person that I would like to approach next would be the fifth person from the bottom. Just not mentioning her name because we're online right now. But I think because of what she does at the college, she'd be a really good fit. So if it's okay, I'm actually going to see her tomorrow night. We're in the same play. I will see her practice. So if the board's okay with it, I could just feel her out and sort of see how she would feel about it. I'm not going to ask for a motion because I think if I do that, we have to say who it was. So I'm just going to like note the assent, and I will check with her and report back and see how we do. And if it's okay, I might try to think of another couple of names to add to the list for next meeting, because I do think that the list as a whole could probably use a little bit of a refresh. So.
Yeah, I think the only thing at the time that this was developed was to just make sure that it was a city resident.
Yeah, unfortunately, okay. Well, I think that's the entire agenda for the month. It is 4:51. Good job, us. Unless there's anything else, I guess it'd be okay to have a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Great. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Okay. I lost my sheet again. But that's fine. Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
Trigg Mead.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
And Kim Fraley. And just be aware, I would think next time we'll be meeting in person.
We'll have to be here.
Mm-hmm. I really think it's going to go that way, barring any real catastrophe. So, and then we would be meeting in the small boardroom.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Mm-hmm.
We'll stop recording.
Where's that list?